church in this time of coronavirus. So I want to say just a few things. Obviously, we're continuing to meet and have worship and are paying attention to things like the Center for Disease Control and Prevention guidelines as to public gatherings. Currently, their advice is that if you are concerned, if you are in a high-risk category for any sort of an infection, to self-isolate or stay home. We trust you to make that decision for yourself, but as a church, we want to do what we can to be good citizens in this community, and so you'll notice a few changes like hand sanitizer around the entrances to the church. We'd also encourage you to limit your hand-to-hand contact. So during the piece, which we're going to practice here in a minute, that might look a little bit different. We trust you to figure that out on your own, but we encourage you to be attentive to yourself. If you're sick, please stay at home. We have the live stream working. Know that the worship team is meeting this week. We're going to continue to identify these parts of the service where we can mitigate the risk of any kind of transfer of any illness. And session, as it meets last week, will continue to pay attention to these sorts of developments. Please know that your church is thinking about this, but one of the gifts that we can give to this community is our worship, our connection to God, and our prayers. So know that we are thinking about this together, but that we will continue to worship and serve and glorify God together here, no matter what changes we encounter. So we're grateful for you all being here, not only during this time, but at the end of daylight saving time, you got it right and you made it here. So good on you this morning. So now I'd open up the opportunity for any of you who have announcements to stand and share with the church. Yes, Sue.
Yesterday was the grand opening and ribbon cutting of the Smithsonian exhibit for rural Georgia in Somerville. We had a lot of important dignitaries there, as you can imagine. I have left several times I have left these crossroads. These are exhibits in six communities in Georgia, and it's sponsored by Smithsonian, and Georgia Tech past president is associated now with the Smithsonian, and he was there and said that a lot of people were surprised, as he was the first alumna who had made the presidency of Georgia Tech. Okay. But exhibit will be happening till April the 17th, and it's especially interesting for school children, and they're doing, they're opening it specifically for students to come and visit. And I'd encourage you to come. There's also a part of the exhibit shows Peacock Alley. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Are there any others? Yes, Priscilla.
On behalf of the Missions Committee, I'd like to invite you to participate in an upcoming project. The committee has committed to serve an evening meal at City of Refuge once a month, and our next opportunity for service is coming up Tuesday, March the 17th. Adults, youth, and children can work together to help serve a hot meal for the 125-plus children who are in the after-school programs at City of Refuge. During the meal, you'll have a chance to mingle with and be charmed by the children. After the meal, there is some cleanup, but it is definitely a many hands make light work into the evening. Kickoff is at 5:45, and you'll be on your way home by 7:30. I promise that you will find it time well spent. So if you're interested, Becky Jolly is the contact person, and again, it's Tuesday, March 17th.
Thank you, Priscilla, and the missions team for continuing this partnership with City of Refuge. We hope many of you who can't serve this week can continue to look for further opportunities as this becomes a regular practice of our church. Are there any other announcements? Let us worship God together, and let us begin our worship by sharing a hands-free passing of the peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ together. Peace care.
please stand for the call to worship? The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil, and he'll keep you alive. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. And let us pray. Holy God, in this new season, we look towards the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ. By your Spirit, through our worship, open our eyes to the transformation he brings. Help us to turn away from the darkness towards light, away from fear towards faith, away from ourselves toward others, away from selfishness towards love, away from death towards life. We pray through Christ, your love turn toward us. Amen. You may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together. First in silence, let us pray. And we pray together. Merciful God, in your gracious presence, we confess our sin and the sin of this world. Although Christ is among us as our peace, we are a people divided against ourselves as we cling to the values of a broken world. The profit and pleasures we pursue lay waste to the land and pollute the seas. The fears and jealousies that we harbor set neighbor against neighbor and nation against nation. We abuse your good gifts of imagination and freedom, of intellect and reason, and have turned them into the bonds of oppression. Lord, have mercy upon us. Heal and forgive us. Let us free to serve you in the world as witnesses of your reconciling love in Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Now I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps for a time together in worship. Good morning. It's good to see you all this morning. Come on down. Come on. Hey, Luke, have a seat. Well, it's good to see you all this morning. I've got a question. I think I already know the answer to it. How many of you have played hide and seek before? Yeah, who's really good at hide and seek?
He tells us where he hides.
You tell them where you hide? It doesn't work that way. Does anyone have a really good hiding spot?
And sometimes I hide in a rock.
You in the where? Okay, so if he covers him, okay, so if he curls up, but you can see him even though we can't see you. All right, that's okay. That's a pretty good hiding spot right there. Someone else, who has a good hiding spot? Yeah, Libba? We won't repeat that out loud, but in her mom's closet, yes. Hold on, Will. Okay, good. Your mom's drawers, that's impressive. What about you, Mary Lois?
My dad's closet.
In your dad's closet. So you're both hiding in your parents' closet. What about you, Luke?
I used to hide all the time under my blanket, but then I got smart and started making it look like there were so I started making decoys.
You made a decoy.
Making decoys.
That's some advanced hide and seek right there.
So I started making decoys to trick.
All right, y'all are doing a great job raising your hands. Let's go to Hannah. What about you? I'll get you, Andrew. Under your bed, that's a good spot. What about you, Andrew?
I guess what?
Under your couch. Hey.
I was going to hide, and then over the statue up there, they won't know I was hiding.
Yeah, they won't know where you're hiding. Well, you all are obviously experts, and I think so.
Under my blanket and my bed, and I'm so black.
Yeah. You just very flat. Good. Well, I think we'll have to spend some Sunday school playing hide and seek sometime. And you can imagine that. Actually, there is some stuff about hiding in the Bible. So in a little bit, we're going to hear a story about someone named Nicodemus. Do you know who Nicodemus is?
No.
No. He's a Pharisee. He's a teacher. And he wanted to go see Jesus. But since he was a teacher, everyone thought Nicodemus was already supposed to know everything you could know about God. But he knew he didn't. And so he went to Jesus, and he didn't want anyone to see him. So how do you think he got there?
Disguising himself.
He hid. How do you think
make decoys.
Decoys would be a good idea.
And
Yeah, so he wanted to hide. He went out at night. It was very dark and no one could see him. That's Zacchaeus who goes up in the tree to see. That's a good memory, though. It kind of sounds like Nicodemus. Yeah, like he could jump up a tree. Well, Nicodemus is embarrassed because he doesn't know everything, but he goes to see Jesus, and Jesus tells him that those of us, his followers, are people who are going to see in the light. So we can hide from each other and we can play silly games, but really we can't hide from God, which is a great thing because God comes to us as Jesus, and so we know that God doesn't hide from us. So even sometimes we can play and maybe even be embarrassed like Nicodemus when we do the wrong thing or we don't know what we're talking about. God comes to us as Jesus. So no matter where we are, no matter where we hide, we know that God's love will find us. I think that's a great story. And so maybe next time you play hide and seek, you can think about no matter where you hide, how hard it is for your parents to find you, know that God loves you and God knows where you are too. All right, let's have a prayer together. Will you repeat after me? Dear God, thank you for Jesus, for finding us in your love. Help us to be attentive, to listen, and to look for you in the way of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, will you hold still for just one more second while we say goodbye? As we dismiss our children to their time together in worship, let us bless them, saying, God be with you there. And God be with you here.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shout of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 12. Listen for God's word. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from John chapter 3. The text in your bulletin goes to verse 17. I'll continue through verse 20. A Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the people, goes to see Jesus to find the light even in the darkness. In the gospel of John, listen for God's word to you. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. I have told you about earthly things, and you do not believe. How can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, we need nothing less than your word and your Spirit to open the truth for us. So we ask that you would be present to us as we listen, as we discover, and as we grow in the way of Jesus Christ, your Son. We pray in his name. Amen. So the past several years, I've played more hide and seek than I'm accustomed to. It's a good rainy day activity, and as one of you told me recently, it's only rained two times this year, once for 20 days and once for 30. We've had good chance to practice so far. So our daughter Margaret is easy to find, and not just because you can hear her at all times from wherever you are in the house. She always ends up under her bed. If it's a good hiding spot the first or the second time, why not the 30th? Ellie has grown clever and can still squeeze herself into kitchen cabinets or underneath furniture under which no human being should contort herself. Sometimes she even wins. But the trick of the game, as you've found out here, is that the children want to be found. It's adults who take themselves too seriously who want to win and can never be found. So I cannot fit into a kitchen cabinet. So I have to be clever. I thought I was being clever with decoys and visual tricks, but apparently I'll have to play hide-and-seek with Luke O'Gwynn sometime. But I know the house better than anyone, so I can usually go for a while without being spotted. I know where all the hiding places are. Adults, I would argue, are better at hiding. And that's because we have so much practice hiding every day of our lives. In his story, The Purloined Letter, Edgar Allan Poe describes the way someone truly deceptive hides something. In the story, a prefect of the Paris police visits with the famous Inspector Auguste Dupin. And the prefect is looking for a letter that was stolen from the royal palace, which presumably contains blackmail material, and the palace wants it back. And so the prefect goes through and describes all the places he has looked in the suspect's apartment. He's disassembled the furniture and poked all the cushions with needles and removed floorboards and drawers and secret drawers. And he's even looked at the bindings of books through a microscope. And no matter where he looks, he cannot find the letter. So 2 weeks later, the prefect returns and Dupin produces the letter. So where did he find it? The letter was hiding on the person's desk in plain sight. It was rumpled and discolored to make it look unimportant. And everyone thought to look in the hardest place they could hide something. The person who hid it was known to be a mathematician, a rigorous and logical person, thus the search by the police. But Dupin also knew the man as a poet, someone who was capable of real imagination. No one thought that a priceless piece of blackmail would present itself as a common letter. So children hide one way, where we might think to look under the dictates of logic, in closets, under furniture. We adults are much more adept at hiding. So we hide ourselves when we put on our clothes in the morning, telling the world something about ourselves, how professional we are, how put together we are, regardless of how we may feel at any given moment. We hide our disappointment when things don't go according to plan for the sake of putting on a brave face and reassuring others, for the sake of reassuring ourselves. We hide our grief when the world expects us to be happy, so we have the decency to only be sad in private. We hide our fears, money troubles or diagnoses or relationship problems. We hide our anxiety about the news that buffets us from every side, comforting ourselves with the thought that we can make it through the day if only we keep our mask on until we get home. We come to church and we hide our disbelief or our disappointments with God. We come here hoping for some kind of spiritual magic to happen, and then we're disappointed again when it doesn't. We don't let down our guard because we hope that no one will discover what we're hiding. We wonder if we even believe anymore. We're good at hiding, and so is Nicodemus. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night for the simple reason that he's embarrassed. The story tells us who he is. He's a Pharisee, a leader of the Jews. Years of education and study would have prepared him to answer any theological question. He's the sort of person who could tell you how many angels dance on the head of a pin. And as a leader of the Jews, the expectation was that Nicodemus would project this confidence wherever he went. So the Jews were under foreign occupation. They wondered if God had abandoned them. They needed people who understood what was going on. As if God weren't speaking to them, at least God was speaking to someone. But underneath Nicodemus' outward confidence was a question that gnawed at him. What if there was more to understand? Because Nicodemus didn't have all the answers. And so when a rabbi named Jesus came to Jerusalem performing signs of God's coming kingdom, and no one had ever seen anything like this before, maybe Nicodemus didn't know how to answer all the questions that came his way. But he hid the question as best he could. So one night, when it was late enough, Nicodemus kept a candle burning in his room. It was his decoy. They all saw how hard he must be working because only rabbis stayed up late to read scripture. And then he left his house, hiding in the darkness all the way to Jesus. He He didn't want anyone to know the truth, which was that Nicodemus did not have all the answers. Funny, he knew just where to find Jesus. So Nicodemus is hiding the whole time as he does this. He's hiding in the obvious place, in the darkness. And he hides behind his professional mask of wisdom and understanding and tradition. And then he comes into the presence of Jesus, and none of this works. And that's because it's in the nature of light to show truth, even if we don't want to see it. Nicodemus is clever. He's sympathetic to Jesus, but he doesn't want to play all his cards at once. He wants to know who Jesus is, but he hides behind his mask of theological professionalism, and so maybe a bit ponderously, he declares a question in the form of a statement. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. And even his words hide the truth. What he's really saying is, Jesus, it's amazing what you're doing. Have you come to us from God? And Jesus answers this statement as if answering a question with a statement of his own, which is actually a question. Think about that for a second. He says, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. And this is not an answer to Nicodemus' statement. He wants to know if Jesus is from God, but Jesus came to know people, real people, and not the masks that they hide behind. He doesn't talk about himself. Instead, he talks about Jesus. Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. It's not an answer, it's a puzzle. And the meaning to this verse is obscured because it's so often read as born again, and I know you don't want me to turn down that highway. But even if we're a bit more literal and we say born from above, it's hard to know what that means right away. Nicodemus doesn't, and so he asks again, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a mother's womb a second time and be born? And he knows this is ridiculous. It's ridiculous because it's impossible. But Nicodemus makes himself ridiculous because he is so far away from being in the truth. He's thinking in the logical vein, and Jesus is being poetic. The truth is hiding in his words. But the purpose of that hidden truth isn't so that we'll miss it. Jesus wants us to understand. He hides the truth with the playfulness of a child, wanting his questioner to look in the right place and so share in the joy of discovery. And so he has to bait Nicodemus so he'll take off his disguise and uncover his hiding place before he gets the clear answer. And the fact is, the answer is quite clear if we're prepared to receive it. Jesus asks, are we prepared to know in a different way? To know as children, to know as people who want to find and be found. Jesus says, be born of water and the Spirit. Be baptized. Be part of the kingdom of God that is coming. Discover, find, know God from the inside out, not the outside looking in. You have to find God by being part of the people of God. And that might be an unexpected answer. This is an oft-quoted verse of Scripture. In a way, it's kind of disappointing to think that Jesus is making a plea for church membership, but in a way, that's what he's doing. And so all of the Sunday school and ushering and committee meetings and facilities repair and meal preparation and all the thousands of mundane acts that make up our performance of baptism here, not to mention the feeding and the loving and the caring that goes on in your life outside of here, all of this is part of knowing God from the inside, not the outside. It's a poetic representation of our baptism, that we're united with Christ in his ministry, and so as the people of God, as the body of Christ, knit together, we follow Jesus in these concrete ways. We don't just understand the truth as if we're struggling to grope in the dark looking for God. We have found God and we live in the light. We live in the compassion of God and bringing food to the bereaved or listening to someone who just needs a compassionate ear. We pursue God as we learn in Sunday school and teach and pass that knowledge on to the next generation. And that's how we learn to understand more than Nicodemus. So Jesus relates this to teaching, his work, and to one of the more obscure and puzzling stories in Israel's history. And that is, when the Israelites were disobedient in the wilderness, God sent snakes into their midst, another highway we're not going to turn down today. But the effect of this story was that the Israelites could be saved by looking at a symbol of a bronze serpent that was always held in front of them. And it was by naming their truth of their sin, not by hiding it, but by seeing it in the open, that the Israelites received God's healing. And just like this, Jesus promises he will be lifted up on the cross. Something of the mystery and the hiddenness of God revealed in his death and resurrection. So he's not just speaking literally, he's speaking poetically again, using the symbols available to him, because Jesus doesn't want us to just understand, but he wants us to be curious enough to follow and discover on our own, to find the hidden God and receive the joy of finding. So we know God from the inside, from this life we have been called into, and we don't have to fumble through the dark anymore. Jesus comes to us as God in the flesh, visible, a light shining in darkness, ready to light our way to the Father so that we can be found. So what does this look like? It's the kind of truth that can't be explained so much as lived. So we don't get Nicodemus' response to Jesus' words. He is cowed and embarrassed into silence. Maybe he wanders home in the dark, but for a peak of sunshine that appears at the dawn. But Nicodemus appears later in the gospel at the tomb of Jesus. And while the disciples have scattered in fear, a few hangers-on have managed to retrieve Jesus' body from the cross and brought it to the garden tomb. Somehow, Nicodemus knows where to be. And he comes with a laden donkey carrying 100 pounds of myrrh. This is a lot of myrrh. You wonder how he made it out of town with something so valuable. I doubt Costco had that much myrrh. And he probably made a scene carrying this luxury item 10 miles into town, and you could probably smell him coming from wherever he was. He wasn't hiding anymore. Those who do what is true come to the light so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
In response to the word of God,
let us confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let us join together in prayer, first in silence. Let us pray. Holy God, we come into your presence in worship and in praise. We are overwhelmed at all you have done for us in providing for daily needs and showing your love through those around us. And above all, for your incomparable gift of love to us in the life of Jesus, your Son. We pray this morning and trust that Jesus prays for us and continually stands before you offering what is most deeply needed within ourselves before your throne of grace. In days of joy and thanksgiving, in days of hardship and challenge, we offer our prayers to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, we live in a time of questioning. Things that were once thought impossible or beyond our experience have brought close to us in new and discomforting ways. We hear about diseases on the other side of the world, but now we confront the specter of illness in our own community. In this time of illness, Lord, we pray for those who are most vulnerable, for the elderly and the infirm. We pray for those who are already sick and ask that you guard and keep them in your love. We pray for those who lack access to health care, for whom this time raises a familiar worry. We pray for doctors and nurses and all who give so much of themselves to care for the sick. And we pray for the families of those who have died and ask that you comfort them by the presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In this time of outbreak, Lord, we pray that you would be with us too. Still anxious hearts, give us the courage and the patience we need to offer a witness of hope in this time. We trust in you. We trust that you have been with your people in times such as these. We trust that you have been with your people in worse times. We trust that you are with us every day of our lives, and that just as Jesus walked among his disciples, you are with us, always before us. Keep us mindful of your presence, and mindful of our calling to bear your hope to the creation you have made and redeemed and are bringing into the fullness of your love even now. Help us to steward this great gift of hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, we pray for those who are close to us, those who still have needs in the ordinary course of their lives, for the sick, the hungry, for the doubting, for the hopeless. We pray for all who wonder after your presence and listen for you, finding empty silence instead. Hear and answer, Lord. We pray for Fran Lewis and family at the loss of her sister Lori. We pray for Lori's children and all who grieve and mourn. We trust in your grace and love and the promise that at the end of all things, you will wipe every tear from our eye. Lord, in your mercy. These and all our prayers, Lord, we offer in the hope of your grace. We know that you are at work in our world. We know that you are at work in those places that only you can change. And so we pray in your spirit, in the way Christ teaches his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In gratitude and thanksgiving, let us return our gifts to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, we worship you with praise and thanksgiving through our lives, through our gifts. We ask that your Spirit would come upon us in what we give, so that in our giving, others might receive you in the grace and love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Following the charge and benediction, I invite you to observe a hands-free rendition. God be with you till we meet again, and then please do join us for lunch in the fellowship hall. Wherever you are, wherever you hide, know that you are found by the love of God and Jesus Christ, and God will never hide from you. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.